Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
And I'm Heather.
Yeah, Heather's back, you guys. Chris has had something come up. He will not be able to make it for probably the next couple of weeks, but never need to fear. We're going to continue to bring you classy wrestling information and commentary every single week. So this week, brought back Heather for her second time on. Say hi, Heather.
Hi.
There we go.
Okay, I was just waiting for you to finish. Sorry. Didn't want to interrupt.
No, it's for those of you who don't remember from Heather's first time on, Heather's my girlfriend. I'm trying to think of a really good way to introduce you again.
That was not very proud.
Heather's,
thanks.
Heather's wonderful, and I love her. And yes. I somehow managed to keep her after making her watch wrestling and talk about it for an hour. So I was dumb enough to do it again.
Yeah. Yes, you were, but that's okay. I love Chris, and I love you, so, you know, I'll do what I can.
All right. Do you remember at all what was going on the last time you were on this podcast?
Dolph Ziggler and Fandango were fighting over girls.
Okay, and that didn't happen again. I remember the episode you came on, Bret Hart came back.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it was right when Santina retired, because we were going to talk about that, and we forgot.
Yeah, because you made me watch the Tea Party thing.
Oh, mm-hmm. I did. And we totally forgot to talk about that.
I don't remember anything else that happened. Dean Ambrose was starting to go crazy.
Was the Shield still a thing?
No, but it was right after.
Okay.
I think. So, sorry if I'm wrong.
I don't remember what was going on when you were on last.
The biggest thing I remember is calling Dolph Ziggler Ramen hair guy.
Yeah. Yeah, that was... Mm-hmm.
I remember him. And Cruella DeVille.
Seth
Rollins. It was right after Seth Rollins.
So, yeah, Seth Rollins
turned into a jerk.
Okay, so that's about where you last watched wrestling, right?
As far as I can remember.
Okay, all right. And then fast forward to this week.
Well, I mean, I've watched it in
between. You have watched it, but you haven't paid attention, of course.
I have papers to grade.
I know, and I love you. I love you dearly. So this week, so last time you were on, we did, by and large, we had a set of questions.
Okay.
And so, do we again have a set of questions?
I have questions.
Okay.
I don't have as many questions this time as comments.
Oh dear. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Comment away.
Why doesn't Sandow have his own character?
Okay, so...
Because last time I watched Sandow, well, he was doing the stupid, like, dress-up, like, historical figures thing.
Oh, okay, and so you already saw that.
Now he's connected with Miz?
Did you see the, like, intellectual savior to the masses character?
No.
So when Sandow first came out, he was super intellectual and smart and, like, hoity-toity. And he would, like, rub it in the faces of fans because they were stupid because they watched wrestling, basically.
Okay.
And so...
Yeah, that's funny. I like it.
And so he would like, come out dressed in a bathrobe. He would hold his microphone like a wine glass when he signed autographs. He used a quill. So he was, like...
Wow.
Top, tip-top, like, a, you know, high society kind of thing.
Okay,
and unnecessarily big words and that kind of thing.
This seems like a bit of a fall from grace.
Yes, so it is.
Okay.
It is, but here's the thing. Damian Sandow, through the really dumb dressing up as a different person each week, and that's kind of evolved into one week he dressed up as the Miz's stunt double, and that's kind of, like, been his recurring thing until that's just what he does now.
Okay.
So that's how that, like, evolution happened. But he is, like, committed so fully, 110% to this... terrible, terrible, terrible gimmick. And it's starting to get him over again. So, that's like, it's like a motivational poster of a character.
I'm always really distracted by his Babylonian-style beard.
Yes.
I want him to, like, be reading me the Code of Hammurabi or something like that. Well, it's like the perfect... Oh, sorry. Okay. So, why does Sheamus and Miz hate each other?
Because Sheamus has the title and, like, that just needs to, I still feel the same way about Sheamus as I felt last time we talked about Sheamus.
Well, he's scarily luminescent and I don't like that. But who's Miz? He's a movie star? Because he kept talking about he lives in L.A. and he hangs out with movie stars.
So Miz is actually, he's been in a couple of movies, for real, real.
Were these movies that real people watch, or just wrestling fans?
He was in The Marine 3, and then he was in The Christmas Bounty, or Bounty for the Holidays, some ABC Family movie where he played a bounty hunter who had to fulfill the bounty by Christmas. I don't know, I haven't seen the movie, I'm sorry.
And you shouldn't be.
But, so, they've kind of leaned into that, because he missed a lot of wrestling to shoot these movies. And so, they've leaned into that kind of thing where he is a movie star now, and he really focuses on that. I don't know how intentional, Hulk Hogan, for a while, was called Hollywood Hogan, when he turned bad. Because, you know, that. So I don't know if they're intentionally leaning into that kind of thing. But that's why he's doing all that stuff now.
Why is Miz such a pansy?
Oh, because he made Damien Sandow?
Yeah, and then took credit for it.
So Damien Sandow is his stunt double now.
Yeah, but that just
means
he's not going to fight? Can someone hit him with a chair or something?
Pretty much the way that the Miz sees it is, if Damien Sandow does something for it, he gets credit for it. Because if a stunt double does a stunt in a movie, then good job for the actor for starring in that movie.
I feel I can see an end in this. Mm. Where Sandow will turn on the Miz eventually.
Yes! That's what's going to happen.
Okay.
So
that'll be interesting.
That's the storyline that's building. And part of its building is because Damien Sandow totally got this Mizdow character over, and people got super behind Mizdow.
Alright, whatever. I wrote Shudder equals Sheamus. That was for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Do you still think that Uso, is that right?
Uso,
whatever. S, not Z. Do you still think that they're bad guys or have bad guy behaviors?
Yeah. Yeah, and they also teamed with Sheamus, so I had no problem booing that team. Nobody, I mean, I do like the Usos. I like the Usos a lot. I think they're very talented in the ring. They're very impressive, but they're bad guys to me. And it's a problem. Have we talked about that being a problem with John Cena?
No.
John Cena does a lot of things that, if another character did them, they would be heelish moves. He makes fun of people. He makes fun of their physical features sometimes. He bullies. Yeah, I know he bullies. But he does it to bad guys, so we're supposed to cheer him. I'm like, nope, that's a bad guy move. You're not a face. So, but he gets away with it because he's John Cena, whereas the Usos, I'm like, it's a lot harder for you to get away with it, you Usos, because of that. So, yeah, Usos are not a face,
as far as I'm concerned, even though they technically are.
So they have something against the Star Brothers, right?
Yes, they lost their championship, their tag team championships to them. So the Star Brothers are championships, right? Yes, they are. It's, you know, the kind of thing where they'll do it and see if it goes anywhere, I think. See if people pick up on, like, oh, I wonder where the Cosmic Key is. Twitterverse is a buzz.
For, 3 days, and then...
I'm not sure the Twitterverse has buzzed about the Cosmic Key. I assumed it was the belts, and they haven't explicitly, got them, and, now we have it. Hooray for us. So.
Well, they're kind of creepy.
Yeah.
But I like them better now than I did before.
Okay. All right.
Because them together is significantly less creepy than face paint Gipsu guy alone.
Okay. So, win you over a little bit at a time?
I guess.
Take it.
That one guy is so committed, it's hard to, judge.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm crazy. Mm. I'm like, yes, you are.
Stardust?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's good. I like him. I like him a lot. I've liked him in everything. He's another one that, he had some not great characters in the past.
Yeah.
And he is fully committed. He used to be dashing Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, you've told me.
And he would do, beauty tips. So.
The creepy backwoods.
Bray Wyatt.
Yeah. What's that movie called?
Deliverance.
Deliverance. Yeah, the Deliverance trio.
Yes.
Yeah. What's up with that video?
Don't know. It's good, though, isn't it?
It's terrifying.
I know. It's so good.
It's a really well-made, scary, weird video.
It's very uncomforting, discomforting.
But it's like some. But he keeps talking about somebody's coming.
Yes.
Innocence or something like that, and there was like a baby and.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. My guess is that that'll be something to happen next week. They've been doing these things for a while, little vignette videos about them with them over the past 3 or 4 weeks now. My guess is if next week is the closest Raw to Halloween, then that'll be when they debut something. And I don't know.
You're never going to make me dress up like wrestling people for Halloween, are you?
That is not something I feel comfortable promising.
I was really hoping you would, because then I would have, like...
Have it on recording?
Yeah, exactly. And be like, you promised me you'd never make me dress up like this, you know, person.
I mean, there's nobody in wrestling where I'm like, I want you to dress up like da-da-da right now.
That'd be a really odd fetish.
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody has it, but I'm very glad you don't.
But...
Sorry. Back on topic. The Deliverance trio.
Yes, so I'm guessing they're going to add a fourth person to that group.
Who do you think it's going to be?
So we talked about this with Chris on an earlier podcast.
The guy you're in love with?
No, I think it'll be a new person pulled up from NXT. So
if I say the guy you're in love with, I really think that it's like 10 people. It could be a lot.
You mean Dolph Ziggler?
No, the one who's on your shirt from the WrestleMania.
Oh, Mick Foley?
Nope.
Oh, my shirt. Brad Maddox! Oh, what if it's Brad Maddox? I would love it if it was Brad Maddox.
Yeah. The one that is really, really hot.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
He's very attractive.
He's an attractive human.
But you said he came back, and so...
He did. He came back on the app.
Okay.
So there was like somebody doing an interview on the app, and he interrupted it. So...
Weird.
It was hope for... I hope they had something for him. So that would be a totally acceptable thing. I would love for him to do something with the Wyatt family.
Randy Orton.
Yeah?
He's creepy when he licks his lips. And I wish he'd stop doing it.
I'm starting to like Randy Orton again.
Oh,
I am.
Why? He's scary. And he looks like he wants to do really uncomfortable things to puppies.
But he's really good in the ring.
That's what she said.
He is. He's really, he's fluid. His movements look natural.
He poses like a really bad statue.
He does. His Adonis pose.
His douche pose.
It's an Adonis pose.
It's a douche pose.
Whatever.
It is.
You know Randy Orton used to be my favorite, right?
Yeah,
when I first started watching, Randy Orton was my favorite.
Why?
He's so good in the ring.
I don't care. I can't get over the fact that he's a douche.
I mean, he's a bad guy. He's supposed to be a bad guy.
But he's a bad person in life.
Yeah.
And, like, you showed me those pictures that he had on him and...
Why did I show you those?
I don't know why you showed me those, but you did.
It's like a weird thing to show you.
Joel?
Yeah. Well, I know you didn't look them up yourself.
No, I didn't.
So if you've seen them, it probably means I've shown them to you.
Sweetheart. You shared wrestling with me.
I did.
Oh, goodness. Okay, so Randy Orton was talking to John Cena.
Are we just going to go ahead and skip right to it?
No, I'm going to keep it to myself, but it's my next note.
Okay.
Because that's when we found that gif. Okay. Okay, I'm going to focus now. Okay, so there was a lot of talking tonight.
Yes.
Which is in reference to Sunday.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, that was really boring.
Really?
It was boring. Well, they would shut up.
Okay.
I'm sorry, like, I like the story and all, but not everybody needs to talk that much. And especially because they kind of talk in circles.
Yeah.
And they say things the same way. They say the same thing more than one way.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be because they're worried about people not understanding it the first time.
Well, here's the thing. I told you before, like, this is the go-home show, which means it's the show before the pay-per-view event on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah, I know what
which you is, mean. By and large, the last chance to get build people. Up. Yeah. So, you know, I'm going to watch whatever. No matter how terrible the build-up is, I'm going to watch the Sunday shows.
But they're trying to get people like me to watch it.
So, somebody like you...
just tune in.
Yeah, did this work at all? Or could you see how this worked? Like, I mean, because you would not watch this at all if it wasn't for me.
Yeah, no.
So, but I understand that, and I'm fine with that. But did you see it working in any way? You can't just make faces. It's an audio podcast.
Shut up. I don't have words. I don't know. It just... they did the recap at the beginning where... Yes. John Cena didn't get the contract, and Dean Ambrose did.
I'm sorry, are you, as a very casual viewer, saying you were turned off by the frequent amount of recaps in this show?
No, I wasn't. Oh, I was glad they did that. What?
Okay, I hate the recaps. I hate the number of recaps in the show. And, like, and it's something that...
That's because you watch it every day, Joel. It's like when you watch a TV show every day, and the last time on blah, 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 blah. I know it what is, happened last time.
But there's, like, recaps within the show of this, like, if you're just joining us, this happened before the commercial break. I'm like, I know, I watched it. It was just there.
Well, I mean, that's also probably because those guys really don't have much else to say.
No.
No, I don't mind the frequent recaps. I mind the, I have to stand around until you, it's, okay, oh my gosh, Joel. It's like watching Dragon Ball Z power-ups.
Yeah?
That's what it is. It's like watching one of those episodes where they power up the entire episode. That's what this was for me. Of, just checking my watch.
Mm-hmm.
Are they still going? I've got 3 hours of this. Shut up. Hit somebody with a chair. I'm not here for your monologuing. I mean, the story is interesting because that's what matters. And, I mean, I'm watching it for you. But, like, I prefer the story. That's interesting. Right. But, like... Some of them are better at storytelling than others, and some of them, and it wasn't, the story's already been set.
Okay.
And they weren't setting up the story, they were ramping up the story.
Right.
They were trying to, like, pump it up and, like,
yes.
stuff like that. So, the story was already there, they were just trying to add tension that I feel is rather unnecessary.
Okay.
I don't know. They were just like, let's be angrier and angrier and angrier. I already know you're angry. You have like 12 veins on your neck, and they're all popping out, John Cena. I can tell you're angry.
It's like, can you?
And then, I don't know. I did like the dummy thing.
You like the dummy thing?
It was funny.
Okay.
And then he threw the dummy at him.
He did. I've seen a lot of split stuff on the dummy thing.
I thought it was funny. I also hate Seth Rollins' hair.
Yeah.
He looks like Cruella de Vil.
I know.
Come on, pick a better fashion model.
So,
and cut your hair.
So, can you name the whole card for Sunday, do you think?
Cena's fighting Orton.
Yes.
And Ambrose is fighting Rollins.
Yes, and those are the two big events. And both of those are taking place in Hell in a Cell.
Hey, I can say that word.
Yes.
And then... Orton and Cena, whoever wins those matches will fight each other.
No. Whoever wins between Orton and Cena gets to face Brock Lesnar, who's the champion.
Okay, so what happens between Ambrose and Rollins?
They're just fighting to fight.
They're just pissy.
Yeah, this is still going back all the way back to when Seth betrayed the Shield.
What happened to Roman Reigns?
He had a hernia.
Oh, ow.
Mm-hmm. Herniated disc, so he is out for a while.
Yeah, he should be.
Mm-hmm.
Side comment.
Yes.
They need a new briefcase.
You don't like the briefcase getting beat? I like the briefcase gets beat up throughout the year.
Well, that's cool. Can't they afford a new one? I mean, come on. It's not a very nice briefcase.
I mean, they can, but I like the fact that the briefcase slowly gets beat up throughout the year.
I mean, how many people's heads has that thing collided with? Probably,
you know, half dozen or so. You got hit with that.
I typed Paul Heyman's name and I spelled it wrong the first time. Mm-hmm. It made me laugh.
Yeah, Paul Heyman came out. I was excited about that.
He plays such a good character role.
He does.
And he's got, like, the best, like, I'm scared face.
Mm-hmm.
Which he does it a lot because he just runs his mouth.
He plays a coward very well.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people go very quickly to that coward role, especially people who are playing bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's like big and tough until somebody comes in and challenges him and then cowers away. Ric Flair played an amazing coward.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think Paul Heyman does such a good job of... And part of it's because I've never seen him defend. Like, Miz plays, like, does that, like, coward runaway
kind of thing. I was going to say, that was actually going to be my example.
And, like, he does it, but I was like, I've seen you win a championship cleanly, defend your championship for several months.
Yeah.
You can hold yourself in the ring, especially, you know, if we're going strictly by storyline, you know?
Yeah.
You can hold yourself in the ring. You should not be scared of these other people. He attacked The Rock. Like, he fought The Rock. So, nobody else should scare him.
Yeah.
People should scare Paul Heyman, especially if Brock Lesnar's not there to protect them.
Paul Heyman looks like pudding.
Okay.
Well, he's got a pudding middle.
Okay.
And it's a nice way of saying he's chunky.
I know. I know. Does he look like a walrus to you?
A little, yeah.
Somebody called him a walrus at some point in the show, and so everybody yells Paul-rus at him.
That's really not that catchy, guys.
No, I think Jerry Lawler did it.
No. Brock Lesnar's the one whose head looks like Pride Rock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Brock Lesnar.
Okay, and he beat Cena really bad not long ago.
Did I
ago.
Show you that match?
Hurt him. It looked like he hurt him really bad.
It was like 16 German suplexes at SummerSlam.
Don't know what that means for sure.
It's when he stood behind John Cena, grabbed him around the middle, and threw him over his head.
Oh yeah, you did have me watch that.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool.
It was. He just again and again and again and again. So he's pretty much unbeatable.
Nick. Your favorite guy came out.
Mick Foley.
Yeah.
Mick Foley did come out.
Mick Foley was there.
So.
Was Mick Foley a good guy or a bad guy?
Tonight? Or, like, or
when he wrestled? Monday?
Both. He kind of went back and forth.
They kind of all do, it seems.
They do all. Everybody. I'm trying to think of anybody that's played one way their entire career that you would know.
John Cena used to be a bad guy, didn't he?
At the very, very beginning.
Looks like a good guy.
Yeah, I mean, he is... Ever since he played this, like, John Cena character that he's playing, he's kept with that.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, he looks like a good guy. I don't know if he came at me in a dark alley if I would feel that way, but I mean...
Yeah. But I mean, Oh, I guess Iron Sheik's probably always been a bad guy. I can't think of Iron Sheik ever being a good guy.
I don't know who that is.
Iron Sheik was... I don't remember he's... Actually, if I remember, he was billed from Iran during, like, the Gulf War.
Oh, okay. Well, so, you know, if you're gonna have to.
Mm. So, I guess Rusev's been a bad guy this whole time.
But he hasn't been around that long, has he?
No, he's not been around that long.
Okay.
So, that's totally cheating.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens with him. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he's gonna stick as Russia... You know, current, you know, geopolitical, the world as it is.
Kozlov turned face. Kozlov was the Russian before then.
Yeah, but we liked Russia for a while.
Yeah. So, and Volkov was the Russian they had before that. I don't know if they might have had Russians between Volkov and Kozlov, but.
I
do not know.
You know, this sounds terrible, but I shudder to think that there's probably a lot of people out there who their main political understanding comes from wrestling.
Probably not wrong.
That's... Mick Foley likes Christmas.
Mick Foley loves Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
I wrote that down just for you.
So, Mick Foley loves Christmas. So it's interesting, I just read, I talked about on a podcast a while back, Mick Foley left WWE for a while.
Yeah.
And went to wrestle at TNA, and I was reading his book about that. And so he wrote it while he was actually rather upset at WWE.
Uh-huh.
So it was very interesting to judge with. And I know that happened several years ago. But it's interesting to see the juxtaposition. He seems happier at WWE.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, he also doesn't have a full-time schedule anymore. This is like his first time back
uh-huh.
in months. And he just came back for this one little thing. you know, promo cheap pop and yeah. the cell. So.
Yeah, well, he was definitely doing some promo because he was like, I subscribe to the network. I was like, that wasn't even, like, smooth.
Mick Foley is famous for, like, pandering.
Yeah, no, that's what that was. So. That made me laugh.
That made me laugh. The when you said for an undisclosed sum. So, yeah. I don't know, have you been watching or aware of the whole $9.99 craze kind of thing?
No.
So, Triple H, right, and clearly at some point, like, backstage, somebody was like, let's just lean into the fact that we're trying to sell this network to people for money because we want their money. And so Triple H did it because he's, you know, on screen, you know, the boss of the company kind of thing. And so he
in
would,
the suit.
Yes. So he would came out and just did a promo that was like, you know, you can watch this on the network for $9.99. You can also watch this on the network for $9.99. And just did it again and again and again and again. And, like, they got this $9.99 thing over.
Wow.
So people started bringing in $9.99 signs every time.
Speaking of signs, somebody had a Colin Mockery
sign. Yeah, somebody did have a Colin Mockery sign.
It was weird.
I had no idea what that sign was
about.
Well,
it was, like, Colin Mockery in one corner and, like, a girl with pink anime hair in the other corner.
Mm-hmm.
It's like someone was, like, these are a few of my favorite things.
Just had magazines that they cut around and made a collage.
I don't know what magazine has that big of a picture of Colin Mockery's head in it.
Maybe Entertainment Weekly from, like, 2004?
Maybe. Even so, he wasn't that popular.
I don't remember when, it's not a, Whose Line Is It Anyway was on, like, 98 to...
I mean, I thought he was funny, but I don't remember it being, like, that, I don't remember him being that famous.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he ever would have been on a cover, just him. Like, there would have been, like...
Yeah, him and all the other guys.
The four guys who were on every episode would have had a thing.
Oh, that's weird. That was weird. Sorry. Back on $9.99.
Oh, yeah. So they brought signs. Every time they brought up the network in the ring, the whole crowd would yell $9.99.
That's pretty
funny.
They
wrote a $9.99 song. So they've totally gotten over this $9.99 thing, which is crazy. So that's why the I subscribed to the network for an undisclosed sum was so funny.
Good gracious. That made me laugh. So. Speaking of things that made me laugh that people said, Seth Rollins at one point, I think it was Seth Rollins, said, I don't sweat the hell in a cell. To which I wrote, that would be painful. Because I'm a literal person.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not always the best with the mic.
No, he is... It struggled. Well, especially because he's going up against Dean Ambrose, who's ridiculously good on the mic.
And crazy.
Yes.
He has a really good arm, too.
Mm-hmm.
Really accurate with that hand that
he threw. Hand went really well. I did not expect that to happen.
Well, it, like, made it all the way down the aisle and, like, landed where he had been standing.
He did. I was very impressed by that.
So all the bad guys wear suits.
Yes.
So you're a bad guy if you have... If you... would like to look nice.
That, by and large, originated from Stone Cold.
Okay.
Because Stone Cold was, you know, rough and tumble, doesn't care what you think, you know, kind of guy.
And I'm going to wear my underwear.
Well, they all wear underwear.
I know, it's weird.
But he fought Vince McMahon. He feuded with Vince McMahon. And there was a lot of catharsis of, this guy is, I mean, he literally was, you know, punching his boss in the face.
That's funny.
And he was, you know, in the show and on real life. That's what he was doing. He was getting paid to punch his boss and throw his boss around. And, you know, there's a lot of catharsis there of, like, I sure would like to punch my boss. Which really helped that storyline get over.
Okay, I can see that.
And so, this whole corporation, evil corporation thing has kind of stemmed from there.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's all these years later, but they're kind of recreating it, so... That's why the corporation is the, you know, the guys in suits is bad.
So, I think about the song Sharp Dressed Man.
Yeah.
And every, you know, girls go crazy about a sharp dressed man, but that's the opposite.
That's the opposite of what's going on here. That's the exact opposite of what's going on here.
Is this like a playing to their, you know, demographic thing?
Oh, it totally is. It totally is. So.
I like a sharp dressed man. Just saying.
Well,
and it's hard for me not to dislike the people I'm supposed to dislike because I'm like, they look very nice. Oh, they're not good people.
Well, I will, you know, concede easily. Like, some of those guys can wear a suit.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, Miz can wear a suit. Miz looks good in a suit.
So does Randy Orton,
though. Randy Orton looks good in a suit.
Like, he had that pink shirt on that he looked really good. I was like, you look very nice. You don't look very trustworthy, but you look very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Oh, well. I think Seth Rollins doesn't quite fit into a suit yet. Mm-mm. I don't know if he just hasn't had one that... I just don't know if he's comfortable with it, and he wears black on black.
It's his neck. Just, okay, so next time you see him, just hold your thumb up next to the screen, because his entire head-neck combo is a thumb.
Oh, but his hair's also really...
Yeah.
...unattractive, and ugh. So, Dean Ambrose, at one point when he was talking to Mick Foley, said, "Nobody understands me. Nobody gets me back there." To which I wrote, "Dean Ambrose has teen angst."
Do you feel like you teach Dean Ambrose?
I kind of do feel like I teach. "Nobody understands me. Shut up, you're 12. I mean, it's really kind of what it was going on. I was like, "Oh, Dean Ambrose isn't crazy. He's angsty. He's having hormone imbalances."
Here's the thing, and this is not the first time they've had this issue.
Of people not understanding Dean Ambrose?
No. So
maybe he should write in a diary. Watch Teen Wolf, cry, eat chocolate.
Let me. The thing where they have the
listen to One Direction.
I thought One Direction was happy.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, happy, angsty, poppy,
pleasant music.
Yeah, teeny, whatever.
When they have, like, a crazy character, an unhinged character.
Nobody understands me.
It's a good thing to do, because that guy comes out and you're like, "I don't know what this guy's gonna do." Mm-hmm. "Oh my goodness, I need to watch, this is crazy. What's
he's
this guy gonna
do?" He's gonna have a dummy and he's gonna throw it at people.
But they don't always, but it's really easy to dissolve into less than stellar things.
Yeah.
And so, they do that most times.
Dissolve into less than stellar things?
Yes. And not, like, totally, but just, like, on a week-to-week basis. And somebody will say something like, "It's kind of dumb. Nobody understands me back there." Okay, calm down. So, no, I'm kind of with you there. I will totally say that.
Yeah. Okay. And what happened after that? Dolph Ziggler walked on.
Dolph Ziggler.
Because his hair's getting kind of long for my ramen reference.
It is.
It's starting to straighten itself out. He needs to get that trimmed up and re-scrunched. Ugh.
So,
it doesn't look the same without the hair, but ugh.
Dolph Ziggler is facing Cesaro. They have a 2 out of 3 match on Sunday, which
What's
is really
that
soon.
Mean?
You have to pin somebody twice.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about that one because I like both of those guys a lot.
I thought you didn't like Cesaro because of his, you know, chest.
No, I like Cesaro. Cesaro is fantastic in the ring.
He just looks... Part of him distracts you.
Cesaro looks goofy to me, and you think he looks attractive.
I think he is attractive.
So, that's fine.
He's muscly in shape and has a normal-looking face.
He does the push-ups to get there, so...
Oh, well, yeah. He's earned it.
Yeah, he's earned people thinking he's attractive. And then we had the main event... I think we need to talk about something in the main event, don't we?
Oh, it's so funny.
Because that might be your favorite thing that's ever happened in wrestling.
I think it's everybody's favorite thing. According to Reddit, it's everybody's favorite thing.
So, if you don't know about this...
Please go look it up.
You can look it up. So, there was a moment in the match...
In the 2-on-3.
Where John Cena, he's going over to flip a table over so he could put somebody through a table.
I think it's Seth Rollins that's
yes.
on the ground.
But the way he walked around the table...
He's, like, hunched over with his hands, like, expectedly reaching out, and he's taken really small steps.
And so somebody made a GIF of that moment and titled it, "John Cena's Muffins Are Done," or "John Cena Forgot His Muffins," or something.
Or, like, "His muffins are burnt." It's something about muffins.
He looks like a grandmother who the buzzer on the stove has just rung, and she's hurrying to the stove.
Oh, it's so
funny. So she can get the muffins out.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's just so unexpected, and it is funny.
You can watch it. It doesn't get old. It has not gotten old yet.
But the thing is, like, the internet has, like, so taken it upon themselves to, like, focus on this moment. And it's
such a great moment.
They've, like, superimposed, like, a chef hat on Cena and, like, a stove for him to take muffins out of.
Oh, I love it.
They've rewritten his entrance music with muffin references.
Oh, it's so exciting.
So, I think next time I make you watch wrestling, you will probably sing Ding Muffin's Done.
I will. Ding Muffin's Done. Mm. Ding Muffin's Done. It's been stuck in my head all day.
So
it's a problem.
It was silly. It was dumb.
But it's so funny. They captured just the right moment.
It was really funny. And so that was it. That was the go-home show. Some things to mention that you might not have picked up on, but I want to complain about.
I mean, you can do your thing, too. Yeah. I'm just here to ask questions.
So, so last week, you remember the recap where John Cena and Dean Ambrose were fighting for a contract on a pole match?
Uh-huh. So on a pole. Sorry.
That's
it's getting late.
We're going to have to just skate on past that because there's a lot of things on a pole. On a pole match is like a standard type of match. There's been Christmas present on a pole match. So let's just power on through the on a pole phrase because it's there.
I thought that was a good idea.
I don't know. I think it was a Bella Twins match, too.
Continue.
The Bell Twins have a match. I forgot Bell Twins have a match this Sunday. I'm really upset about that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay, so they have a match with a stipulation of the loser has to be the personal servant of the winner.
Oh, God. Which, can't the girls have a decent storyline?
I can already see the backstage vignettes of that terrible, terrible outcome.
It can't be worse than that woman who got thrown up on that one time.
I don't remember
Roman Reigns,
did the Vicky Guerrero thing.
Somebody's coffee so he could get in the Rumble? Was that the Royal Rumble?
That might have been. I don't remember. I didn't like that.
It was gross.
So anyway, Dean Ambrose won that match. And so they were wrestling to see who would be able to face Seth Rollins at Hell in a Cell. And Dean Ambrose won. And so they very specifically said, the winner will face Seth Rollins, and the other one will face Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
Being very careful not to be like, and the loser will face Randy Orton. Because they're trying to sell this Randy Orton match, too. But now the John Cena match, Randy Orton match, is a match for
Brock Lesnar,
a chance to face for the championship match. Mm-hmm. So they were competing for the loser of that match to get a shot at the top-tier championship.
Yeah.
Which is dumb.
That is really dumb.
And it's frustrating me.
I'm sorry.
Like, as soon as anything... I'll just go ahead and say I don't think John Cena is going to win that. I'm assuming this is leading up to a Randy Orton versus Brock Lesnar situation.
Okay.
John Cena's lost to Brock Lesnar twice, and just I don't think they're going to want Brock Lesnar to just defend his title against John Cena. Again and again, yeah.
Cross the fingers.
I don't want that to happen.
But then I'll get to hear Ding Muffin's Done more often.
Oh, don't worry. John Cena will still be on the show. So he'll have a match with somebody. Also, I want to mention, since you were on last, I guess also because we've been talking about Hell in a Cell. Since you were on last, I did make you watch Mankind, Mick Foley versus Undertaker at Hell in a Cell, which is my all-time favorite match. And I don't think you liked that match.
No. It was terrifying.
Yeah.
It was awful, because it was real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, stuff was real.
Mm-hmm.
Scary.
It was.
His tooth went through his lip and he was... blood. And I can't even imagine being the Undertaker in that situation and trying to handle this absolutely deranged man.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was not himself at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd had the crap knocked out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And probably a good chunk of sense knocked out of him, too. I can't even.
So there's a point for you than wrestling.
It can't, and it was too real. I mean, yeah. Wrestling's supposed to be silly and goofy and fake. I mean, and I'm sure it was great for the business and all that kind of stuff. And it was really impressive, but it really, and knowing what you've told me about Mick Foley, about how his medical situation now, it was harder to watch because I knew, I could see what it was doing, and I knew what the outcome was going to be. And yeah. I knew the outcome was going to be very, very negative.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not good, you know?
I mean, it's, you know, here's the thing, like, it's an amazing match. And, like, just the drama and the emotion is so very real and stressful. And, I love that so much. And part of that is also, I am watching it all these years later. And I've seen both of them since then, and they're both still alive.
Yeah.
So, watching that kind of match live, I don't know what I would do.
I can't even imagine.
But, and they both wrestled very grueling matches since then.
Yeah.
Like, that, I'm trying to, Mick Foley's done other matches where I'm like, that, I cannot. He did one with Randy Orton, several years after that, maybe 6 years after that, which stands up along with that one as just very stressful to watch. There's tacks in that one too. He does one with Edge at one of the WrestleManias where they set a table on fire and fly through it. So,
man, it's insane.
Mm-hmm. But and Mick Foley's talked about this too. But Mick Foley has made a very successful career and made a lot of money doing that. And
is it worth it?
Well, how many people are out there trying to do that without the proper training, without the safety precautions that WWE has? And
even all the training and all the precautions they had, he still messed himself up bad.
He did. He messed himself up really bad. I am sure that if he could go back and do it differently, he would not.
Yeah.
He decided it was worth it. He decided he wanted, it was important enough to him to put on this show for this audience. He'll do it. And he also, like his work is immortalized. You know?
Yeah, I guess.
Years and years from now, people can watch that match.
And go, holy crap.
Mm-hmm. And that's worth it. And I can't blame him for thinking that's totally worth it.
I guess.
But at the same time, I cannot sit here and be like, I wish they would do more of that.
Oh, no. That's so, no. That was a one-time thing, and I think everybody knew that's not what was supposed to happen. And especially everybody knows now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they should have, you know, people have done stuff where they would intentionally, you know, cut themselves with razor blades to, they would hide them and then cut themselves so that their matches would be more bloody.
Yeah.
There was a guy named Abdullah.
Mm-hmm.
Who just, I don't think I've ever seen a picture of him, but he has, like, terrible scars up there. He's able to, like, stick poker chips in them and they'll just kind of sit there. So.
Ew.
Yeah. So, and then imagine all this happening and then, like, you know, they've been doing this for 20, 30 years. You know, trade blood in the ring. It's like, oh, AIDS is a thing. Oh, so gosh. There was a brief moment of, like, very serious panic.
Yeah.
You know, people think, like, all the blood that they've interacted with from other wrestlers. So.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bloodborne pathogens, morons.
Mm. They don't know.
Fine, you didn't know, but ugh, that's still, I have to get trained in all that stuff every year. It's mm-hmm. the worst video in the world, but, jeez, I know not to touch blood.
So, well, now there's other matches I want you to see. I'd be interested in your reaction, but that is. I won't show you anything else with tacks in it.
Okay.
And nobody gets thrown off a cage.
Yeah, the tacks. I couldn't handle that.
So,
tacks. That just was not safe.
Tacks aren't so bad. And tacks aren't so bad because, what?
Well, what do you mean tacks aren't so bad?
Tacks, one of the reasons they use tacks so much is they look a lot worse than they actually feel.
Fine. I'm going to go stick some tacks in you and see how you feel.
I don't want it. Tax get to me more than anything else. I don't, like, that's the one thing I never want them to take back. Like, the barbed wire, whatever, the, a lot of this, well, like, Triple H uses a hammer. Have you ever seen him use a hammer? Uh-uh. Like, he has a sledgehammer, and the implication is, like, he hits people with sledgehammers, but he always, like, puts his hand over it, and then, like, hits them with his hand and the sledgehammer. Uh-huh. And they're like, oh, a sledgehammer! And then you're like, you know, I know that's not true, but I'll totally be like, oh, a sledgehammer, because the only way, the other way to do that is, like, actually hit something with a sledgehammer. And I don't want to see that.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
So, but no, that's, like, that's his weapon of choice is the sledgehammer. But he does it in a way that looks kind of doofy, but lets me pretend that I'm watching a guy get hit with a sledgehammer when I'm really not. So, but yeah, I do not think we will see anything of that caliber on Sunday.
Thank God.
So, all right. Well, I think that's about it for me. You good?
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
All right, good. I do want to thank you for coming on and enduring a whole nother session of talking about wrestling.
I hear you talk about it often enough. This is really not that much different than the conversations we often have.
All right, fair enough. Oh, you don't know any of the sign-off things.
Which means nope. You have to go through all of them.
All right, let's see.
I get to sit back and just watch you.
I didn't, last time Chris was off, I did such a bad job at it. Okay, let's see. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire. We live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays, one of which is this Sunday, so be sure and tweet along. We are also, if you have any question, comments, or concerns, you can send those to our email address, which is classyringattire@gmail.com. We'll answer everything there. You have any questions, they can easily get submitted to the mail sack through there.
Mail sack.
Yes, mail sack is a joke.
I know.
We are also on iTunes, so look us up there. Give us a rating of 5 stars. Be really nice. Write a review. All that kind of stuff helps out the podcast with iTunes stats and configurations and stuff. We are on iTunes. You can also listen to this on wrestling.insidepulse.com. Leave a comment there. We'd also love to hear from you there. We are also on Facebook. Look up classyringattire@facebook.com. Easy way to keep track with Classy Ring Attire as well as with Trashy Ring Attire, our spin-off sister show, which I think has a new episode that's just gone up this week or last week. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Bye.
You don't want to say huzzah?
Huzzah.